Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Living Your Life by Design, a conversation of self, health, and wealth, with the sole purpose of advancing and enhancing the lives of women. And now, your host, certified career consultant, life coach, and author, Kathy Holloway Hill.
Good evening. Happy Wednesday, everyone. I'm Kathy Holloway Hill.
And I'm Tony Lamont.
And we're your hosts this evening for the next 60 minutes on the Living by Design show, and we're very excited to be with you this evening. It's the middle of the week, and it's almost Friday, so just hold on because the weekend is coming. Tony, how are things going in your world?
Going good. Just working very hard, trying to stay on top of things and getting ready for the election.
Well, yes, I was getting ready to say something about the election. We're going to have another big presidential debate at about 9 o'clock Eastern time tonight. Is that
yep.
right? Is it about? It kicks off at 9 o'clock?
Yeah, and that'll be the last one.
Oh, really? Okay. Well, I don't know about you, Tony, but I'm ready for this election to be over. I am I'm pretty excited about it. I have to say that. I'm very excited about it, but you know, I know that it's the way politics works, and that's just the way of the world, but, oh, my goodness, all the back-and-forth hatred and mudslinging and people that are just avid Republicans or avid Democrats, why can't we all just get along? Oh, is that too much to ask?
Well, you know, I think what happens is you have your supporters who are very, very adamant about supporting you.
Yes.
And they just have a tendency just to continue. And then you have your advisors who make give you the advice that this is the approach you should have. And I think in one camp it's just not gone very well. And so they've had to take a look at changing things up. So it'll be interesting tonight. Tonight's debate is a different format. I know we're not talking about specifics, but it's a different format where the opponents will actually be face-to-face, sitting down, facing one another, and kind of going at each other. So it'll be interesting to see if the mudslinging is going to continue or if they're going to be very impartial and just stick to what their policies and what their way of getting the message across to the voters are going to be.
Tony?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, I'm sorry about that. I'm not sure what happened. I apologize. I think it kind of beeped out on me for a minute.
Yeah, I heard something and then I didn't hear anything, so I just held on. Wanted to make sure I didn't hang up. So.
No, you did very well. Thank you for that. Thank you for moving on with the show in my absence. But I just was saying that, and I'm sure you went on with what the comment I had made about the debate and the presidential election. I'm very, very much ready for it to be over with because it's just, unfortunately, it's a great time in our history, and it's a sad time in our history because everybody is just divided. We're all just divided, and I don't know why it has to be that way. So,
I think this is going to bring a lot of folks together, so hopefully it really will. Once this election's over with, we'll start looking at the country as a whole again.
True. Absolutely. I mean, it's going to be over soon. So I do want to encourage everyone that's listening, and, you know, whether you're listening on the archive downloads or there's several people in the chat room right now, and I'm going to say hello to you guys in a second here, but If you're listening to the downloads, archives, live in a chat room, via phone line, please, please, please be sure and vote on November 4th. This is a very critical time in our history. So I want to make sure that everyone's voice is heard. So I'm going to take a minute. Yes, Tony, go ahead.
If I could just interject with that, too. And a lot of folks are going to be concerned about not being able to get to the polls on Election Day. And in most of the states, early voting is going on right now. So we want to encourage folks to also early vote. So if you get an opportunity in your county to early vote, you can do so. That way you can stem the lines and not have to wait in those lines, because on Election Day there are going to be a lot of lines. So if you can do that, early vote, get it out of the way, and then take care of it. So I just wanted to encourage that, since you said November the 4th. You can early vote actually until November the 3rd.
Right. Right.
Thank you for that.
Oh, yeah, you're absolutely correct. You're absolutely correct. So this is a very important time in our history. So, you know, hopefully we can all come together, and however it turns out, however the election turns out, I think this is one of the best countries in the world, and I think we should support the outcome and, you know, just all try to live in peace and harmony. So, but I'm very excited, moving on, I'm very excited about our topic tonight. This is going to be a wonderful discussion, and I'm going to take just a moment out to say hello to all of these great people in the chat room. We have a few guests in the chat room, and I know they can't participate in the chat, but we have Anita in the chat room, and we have Your Time Now. Hello, Natasha. Angel Seeking Peace. I know that's right. I'm seeking peace. We all are. Attorney Mom. I am so happy to see Attorney Mom in the chat room. She's a great friend, and she's been missing for a while, but she's back. Yay. And Madison Media, welcome to you in the chat room. Tony, of course, my great co-host. Tim Loves Beauty. Hello, Tim. How are you doing? Inspire Me Radio. I am so glad you guys could join us this evening, and I'm sure other people will be joining us as we continue on with the show. And the topic tonight is going to be an outstanding topic. We all have heard about The Secret. The Secret was a runaway blockbuster bestseller. Oh, my God, it was just phenomenal how that book just took off like gangbusters. Tonight we're going to be talking to Dr. Lisa Love, and Dr. Lisa Love has quite a bit to say about the law of attraction. She has been associated with the law of attraction for quite a while, and I'm going to get to her in just a second. I know she just joined us. I saw her number come up on the switchboard. We have quite a few lines already in the switchboard, but I want to just give our listeners a sneak preview of next week's show. Now, I talked a little bit about this last week, but and I'm chuckling already. Sorry about that. But next week's show is entitled Mirror, Mirror, Loving Your Body Image. And on the Living by Design show, we very rarely talk about topics of a sexual nature. But ladies, hold on to your hat, because this is going to be a very sexual show. Dr. Lee Schwartz and Miss Jackie Fine will be joining us that day. And Dr. Schwartz is an outstanding expert in the area of women's sexuality, and she has written several bestseller books, and her most famous book is entitled The 1 Hour Orgasm, and she's going to be talking about that book, and she's going to be talking about how women can feel very comfortable with their sexuality and their body image, particularly, Tony, because, you know, women struggle with loving their body image, and we want to make sure that we bring that topic to you guys so that you can understand that we come in all sizes, all shapes, forms, sizes, and we want you guys to be very comfortable with the skin that you're in, whether you're a size 2 or a size 22. Be happy with who you are and the image that you see looking back at you from the mirror. So we're going to have that show next week, and I'm very excited about that. Right now, I am going to bring Dr. Lisa Love on the line, and I am anxious to get into this discussion tonight because this is going to be a great one. Dr. Lisa, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hello. Thank you for the opportunity to join you.
Oh, thank you so much for joining us this evening. I am so excited to have you with us. Your bio is just phenomenal, and I'm going to go ahead and allow you to just give our listeners a little bit of information about your background and all of the experience you've had with the law of attraction, and then I want to just ask you a few questions and talk about your book.
Sure, I look forward to it. Yeah, so I first learned about the law of attraction in the early 1980s, and I've been working with it since then. And the notes to my book, Beyond the Secret, Spiritual Power and the Law of Attraction, were actually written about 11 years ago. And that's because I ran into a crisis around the late 1980s regarding this whole idea of the law of attraction. So when the book The Secret came out, it was really easy for me to take that book and analyze its premises. And if you look at the back of my book, I have 20 different talking points where I say The Secret says this and my book says this. And the basic premise of my book is, yes, you can use the law of attraction to attract what you want in life, but the bigger secret isn't knowing how to wish, it's knowing what to wish for. And since so much of my background is related to spiritual psychology, how can we wish for something that comes from the values of the soul and the spirit? And how can we attract a life of true happiness, which is rarely based on material abundance? Instead, it's based on a plenitude of love in your life and loving relationships. How can we attract a life that truly makes us happy and truly brings us joy and success? So that was one of the main motivations for me writing my book.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Well, I would like to, you know, just talk a little bit about your book and your background, because the first thing I kind of want to talk about is the actual, the book, The Secret. Now, you remember the success of The Secret. Oh, my God. It was absolutely phenomenal. There was
right.
There was so much attention that was brought to the law of attraction after The Secret came out. Why? Can you explain to us, Dr. Lisa, why is that? I mean, why did we not hear more about the law of attraction prior to The Secret?
Well, I'll answer it two ways. First of all, it's interesting because a spiritual teacher of mine in a meditation class said as early as 1984 that at the turn of the century, everybody would start to learn about the secret of magic or the powers of the mind. And certainly that has happened. And the background behind these ideas is as old as the mid-1800s. And a lot of the inspiration for my book actually came from books that were written in the 1920s and 1930s. But let me tell you why I think The Secret was such a huge success, because the collection of authors in that book know about the secret of marketing. That book was a major marketing phenomenon. Rhonda Byrne showed up.
What I told Tony today.
Right, to Jack Canfield's 100 Most Transformational Leadership Workshop, and she just decided to interview a bunch of those people on the spot. Well, a lot of those people, interestingly enough, many of them live right near me in San Diego, were already well-leveraged people with huge mailing lists. And so they used a marketing technique where you leverage a book through the mailing list of highly successful people. Rhonda Byrne had that strategy in mind before she went to the conference. So the major secret of the success of that book was understanding how marketing works and how you really leverage something to be very successful in terms of building a book. Jack Canfield with his Chicken Soup for the Soul series, and I have talked to his mentor in terms of book marketing, understands the principles of how you make a book highly successful. So in a way, it's kind of a distortion, because these people are saying you just simply need to use your mind and imagine it and visualize it. But the truth of the matter is there was a very detailed strategy that a lot of people don't know about, are not privy to, haven't paid the $20,000, $30,000 to have access to, don't have the access to that very elite group of authors, you know, and speakers. And so they got together and decided to, with Rhonda Byrne's inspiration, leverage that book through the marketplace and did so very successfully.
Right. And I actually, Tony, didn't you and I just had that conversation today?
Absolutely. And that was exactly what we said it was, because of the fact that we kind of, because of our experience in marketing and just gathering those individuals together and putting those names behind it and putting the strategy of the marketing piece behind it. The one thing I wanted to, because what intrigues me about your title, and Kathy and I spoke about this prior to the show, is it gives a sense that there is so much more that we don't know that we need to know when it comes to the law of attraction.
Yes, and this isn't in my book because this is in my second book coming out with Hampton Roads next year, a follow-up to my first book. But, you know, there are different levels of mind that we need to use related to the law of attraction. You know, the marketing strategy and how to leverage things through is what I call the logical mind. Most of The Secret worked on what I call the desire mind, and that is, how do you motivate yourself to get up and do something? But when I was being interviewed on the radio and a lot of stations when my book first came out, I had some people that worked for the people of The Secret tell me that people would call in and get really upset because they said they're trying The Secret principles and they're not working. Well, that's because, and people like James Ray and James Atheroff, who live near me, have said in talks that I visited here in San Diego with them, you know, not all the people that were part of that book agree with the principles of that book, but they themselves have said, you got to have a strategy. You can't just fish it. You have to logically take steps to figure it out, which is often true. Now, sometimes you can just wish something. You can use enough will and desire to manifest something. You just kind of break down the wall and make it happen. But for the most part, there are strategies that you have to have as well to make these things happen. So you need the desire, the motivation to want to attract it to yourself, but you also need a plan. There's something that I call the difference between a hookup, and that is how you get attract particles and electrons attract each other. But after they attract each other and hook up, they have to line up. So it's one thing to just kind of attract a potential partner to you. It looks like he or she may have what you want, and then as you start to discover them, you go, oh, my gosh, this doesn't fit and that doesn't fit. So you have a strategy. You need to do what I call use the law of repulse to repel them out of your life. Or you need to figure out how you're going to get all the ingredients to line up so that particular match, whether it's in a business partnership or a real partnership or whatever you're doing, how does it actually stick and last?
Gotcha.
Now, let me ask you this, Dr. Lisa. I mean, I really haven't heard a lot about The Secret for a while. So do you know why that is? I mean, did they just come up with this great marketing strategy? The strategy worked, and, you know, they sold billions of books, and now they just disappeared into the sunset. I mean, do you know anything going on with that? I heard there may be a
I know that Rhonda Byrne is still doing her thing, but what's happened to a lot of the authors, at least the ones that I know in my area, like Lisa Nichols is another one in my area, you know, that book helped give them more visibility, and they are coming out with their own books and their own slant on things, because that was a hodgepodge of people that don't all have the same exact views that Rhonda Byrne put together. For example, the Hicks, Esther and, forgetting her husband's name at the moment, is it Jeremy, with the Abraham teachings, you know, they produced a lot of their own books. With this, they were part of the original videotape and the original secret DVD and then bowed out because they had disagreements with Rhonda Byrne and her approach and the way she was pulling things together. So I'm sure pretty much everybody that's part of that book is grateful for the mass exposure that they got, but many of them have their own slant and have gone their own direction. Michael Beckwith, who lives near me, he's up in L.A., I'm in San Diego, et cetera. So, you know, I haven't talked to any of them personally. I'm sure they're all very grateful. John Gray, Marv Venus is another person that I've had some contact with. But, you know, they all have their own take on things.
Right. Now, what I would like to ask you is, in your book, Beyond the Secret, because the title Beyond, of course, lets me know there's a lot more to it. Now, let's just talk a little bit about what additional principles that were not in The Secret that, or maybe they were in The Secret and they just didn't have enough emphasis on them for us to understand that it is more than just a thought. And to be very honest with you, Dr. Lisa, a lot of people that I talked to after they read The Secret, they didn't actually say these words, but I got the impression that they felt like The Secret was something similar to like a genie in a bottle. You know, if you just rub a genie in a bottle, or if you just rub a genie's lamp, a genie will come out and give you what you want, and it's just so much more to it than that. And I really would like for you to expand on the actuality of what's involved with the law of attraction, because it's very important that people understand all the principles, not just a few of them.
Well, the law of attraction is neutral, and the genie in the bottle is a symbol that the secret used, and it's a symbol that I spun off on in my book. In other words, just like in the movie Aladdin, you know, the genie doesn't care what kind of person you are. You rub that lamp, the genie comes out, it's forced to give you wishes, whether you're a good person or not, whether it's for greedy principles or not. We're just, you know, interviewing right after the biggest financial collapse based upon people using the law of attraction for massive greed and distortion and lying. And the big difference in my book is there are 10 steps, and the principles that are in the book, The Secret, don't start until my step 6. The first 5 steps in my book are basically make sure you're coming from spirit. And one of the major things I have discovered in my life is when you're deeply involved in a spiritual practice, you feel more and more connected to other people. And one of the things it's done to me is I actually desire to have less and less. I want there to be an abundance for everybody. I want there to be an abundance for 7 generations in the future. And I disagree, based upon global warming is what I use for my backup, that there is an abundance of everything. There is enough for our needs, but not our greeds. And one of the things that I think The Secret slipped into was spiritual materialism. That is, they throw a spiritual guise over this idea that you can be as greedy as you want in life and there's no consequences. Now, my PhD dissertation, one of them was on wealth and spirituality, and that was the inspiration for this book. I spent 5 years really studying this question. Can you have everything you want and maintain your spiritual center? The truth is you can. And there are some people like Richard Branson, Bill Gates, who I had to change my opinion of. It wasn't favorable until after my research. Warren Buffett is finally coming around. George Soros. These are all multi-billionaires who are people that use their money very responsibly and feel like they have a mission in life to make the world a better place. So Bill Gates set up his Melinda and Bill Gates Foundation, and they have as their main quest to alleviate AIDS. And George Soros is very concerned about changing the economic structure. I saw him interviewed the other day on CNN, and he doesn't agree with what happened in the banking system. And you have Richard Branson, who set up his Council of 100 Wise Elders around the globe that we can consult in difficult times. It's an amazing list of international elder wise beings. You know, these are people that understand that if you get abundance of any kind, you need to use it in a way to help make the world a better place. And so the first 5 steps that I have in my book are, how do you first communicate with spirit in whatever way you do that? So that you're kind of asking spirit. You're not telling spirit. That was something I thought very offensive when I saw the DVD of The Secret. That you just tell the universe, give me this, give me that, give me this, give me that. Like your small human brain understands everything the universe understands. Yes, I believe we're one with spirit, but I don't think my brain in the body of Lisa Love has the full consciousness of the planet or the universe, etc. And so that is the way that I differ. So I invite the word surrender into my book, which is why Susan Jeffers, who wrote Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway, and her other book that I love, Embracing Uncertainty, was such a big fan of my book. Because in my book, I say, leave a little room for uncertainty. Leave a little room for spirit to maybe send you down mysterious paths. You know, I originally had written about Christopher Reeves in my book. You can look at Christopher Reeves, who had that horse accident, became a quadriplegic, and say, oh, he must have had a really bad thought. That's why he had that accident. Shame on him. He became a quadriplegic. But at the same time, now, I don't wish anybody to become a quadriplegic. But by gosh, what a tremendous service. He forwarded the research for quadriplegics and spinal cord injuries. He made a quantum leap forward because of the way he handled that. So sometimes I argue in my book, this is very controversial, sometimes I argue that things just happen. And maybe spirit sends you down a path that you go, oh my God, how could this be? This can't be the way I should go. And yet if you stay open and you kind of watch how your inner spiritual qualities unfold with it and your service unfolds with it, and you become less selfish and more selfless and more giving and loving, to me, that's what it's all about. And that's what the first half of my book is about, and why I say it goes beyond The Secret, or at least the way Rhonda Byrne presented those ideas.
Well, you know, I'm just going to just digress here just for a second. I've got quite a few calls in queue, and I just want to make sure that these callers are just listening and that they don't have a question. So I'm just going to go to the phone, and I'm going to go to area code 301. Area 301, do you have a question, or are you just listening?
Yeah, I had a question and a comment, actually.
Okay.
Yeah, the Beyond the Secret, it's a great book, and I think I wish all the success to you. I don't know when it came out, but I wish you all success with that. And what I think is that there needs to be something out on the market for people that The Secret did not work for, and I think maybe this would be it, possibly. But here's my question. The law of attraction, do you believe everybody has something within them? Do you think the law of attraction is a natural ability, or somebody has to acquire it, or it's some skill? What is your take on that?
We all have it. I do believe it's a natural principle. The thing is, we attract where we vibrate at. You know, I have done some work in actually studying the science of magnetic fields and how they're actually created. And so the thing is, if you attract at a very low egotistical level, when events happen in your life, you're going to feel overwhelmed by them. You're going to be in what I call the negative pole. There's a positive and negative pole. You're going to be in the negative pole where you're being impacted by those events instead of knowing how to consciously move to the positive pole and impact those events. So that, I think, is what the law of attraction is about. Events happen in our lives. Now, I argue sometimes they happen, and we're just not conscious of how to work with them. So we're in that negative receptive pole, but we can get conscious. We can get conscious and make changes and then become positive, influential agents in our lives. So that's how I think it works. And that idea of becoming conscious isn't stressed in the book, The Secret. It's actually not stressed enough in my current book. It will be stressed more in my second book coming out.
Okay, great. Well, thank you for that, caller. And I'm going to try to go ahead and go to area code 832. Area code 832, are you just listening, or do you have a question? Area code 832? Okay, I think they're just listening. Okay, well, and Dr. Lisa, you know, I just wanted to expand a little bit on the spirituality portion of what you mentioned in the book, because I do believe that the law of attraction is based around biblical teachings, because everything basically that I've read about the law of attraction and the way I understand the law of attraction and what you just also explained is that, I mean, isn't it basically just everything that has been taught in the Bible?
Well, that's a very broad question. I don't know if it's everything that's been taught in the Bible, and I am.
Or a lot of the principles from the Bible.
Well, these ideas are not new at all. The way that they were first presented to me is energy follows thought. And that is, what you think, you tend to put your energy on, and I use the word tend, and you tend to create. So if you obsess all day about, let's use some current examples, about, you know, maybe you've had a financial impact happening from recent events, and so you're obsessing about, oh, my gosh, what do I do about this, you know, and instead of going into meditation and coming up with a solution, instead you just stay in fear and you stay paralyzed by it, then that's all you're going to put your energy on. I'm afraid, I don't know what to do. Instead of what should I do, go into meditation and come up, which is my step three, and come up with ideas and inspirations for how to change, how to, you know, there is a lot of money to be made in this new economy, but there are going to be new ways to make money than the old ways. And one of the fascinating things is my book first came out in October of last year, so it's been out a year now. I had most of my radio interviews around January, and I was telling everybody that we have got to attract a different world where we're going to have a revolution of the heart. And it's not going to be using the law of attraction to attract everybody being multimillionaires, which is not sustainable for 6.6 billion people on the planet. It just isn't. Instead, I believe we're going to attract a lifestyle of increasing simplicity, where we're going to have more time to raise our own children, more time for our loved ones and our partners, more time for meditation, more time to get to know our neighbors. We have attracted in the last 20 years an idea that the way to be successful is to constantly work 24/7. And where most of the profit was going was to these major executives, and now that's all falling apart. We were not attracting lifestyles, most of us, collectively anymore, where we had real quality of life, where we had real strong bonds of relationships that we were building. And I think that is a huge blessing that's coming out of this economic collapse. I think we're going to throw the old idea of what it means to be successful out. In fact, I've heard some European countries on the radio saying they no longer believe in the American dream. They don't think it works. Instead, maybe what we need is a dream where we don't have to work for as much stuff. We don't need 10 pairs of blue jeans at Walmart every month to feel okay about ourselves. Maybe what we need is more time, as I said, with our loved ones, or, you know, taking time to really eat more nutritional food instead of fast food all the time. Are you talking about sex next week? How about time for the one-hour orgasm or the five-hour orgasm or whatever it is, instead of incessant working? You know, George Bush was applauding a woman for having three jobs as the American way. I just don't think that has to be the way anymore.
Yeah.
Now, Dr. Lisa, I wanted to ask, from the standpoint, how do you deal with those individuals who, and for lack of a better term, just the skeptics? Because even if they believe in the Bible and they believe in the teachings of the Bible, and then they take a look at the law of attraction, as Kathy was saying, that's the way I look at it. I look at it as kind of a handoff from the Bible. I mean, you know, watch what you ask for. That's basically what you just said. I mean, the energy that you deal with, those things that come to you and those kinds of things, those teachings are in the Bible, and they're very simplistic if you pay attention to those kinds of things. But what do you do, and how do you deal with those skeptics that basically say, look, there's no way that this is what it is? And I know from the science standpoint, there is proof there. So how do you deal with those individuals? What do you say to them?
Okay, there's three different things. Let me deal with the Christian side first. You know, Jesus said, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And the principle of Christianity is to be of service in the world and to make a sacrifice. And I talk about the law of service and the law of sacrifice in my book, and I call sacrifice a joyful giving. And so, you know, that's back to this idea of you attract where you vibrate at. But what happened is a lot of the people in the book, The Secret, are from the New Thought Movement, which I myself have had a foot in. I was raised Christian, but I've had a foot in that world. And I had some questions with that world. And that is, you know, that whole idea that you can, you know, think and grow rich, Napoleon Hill, that, you know, you can have whatever you want. You're the master of your own universe. You are 100% responsible for the creation of your life. You just have to think and feel it, and it will happen. And I have my own level of skepticism with that. I think it is good to be responsible for the choices we make in life. I think it's primarily important to become conscious. But I worked with children that were sexually abused right after I learned about this principle in the 1980s. And it was very difficult. I saw some horrendous forms of sexual and physical abuse. To look at those small children, 5, 6 years old, and say they attracted that, I don't think so. I think what happened is they were seeking out love and they were unconscious. And, you know, or maybe, you know, if you wanted to go with a reincarnation philosophy that some people have argued, okay, maybe they landed into that family, but not necessarily because they did something bad. Maybe they were there like Christopher Reeve with that paralysis incident to learn how to, you know, come out of that hardship to be a very wonderful spiritual being. So there's some unfair judgments that happen in that New Thought movement. I don't know what that clicking is that has suddenly started. I hope the listeners can't hear it. But in terms of science, you know, I'm a healthy skeptic myself. And so that's why for my next book, I've been looking at, well, what does science really say? Because, you know, a positive and a positive pole, they repel. A negative and a negative pole, they repel. So what is this? Two positives get together, they don't attract, they repel. Well, let me tell you how I understand that. If I'm trying to be, if I use positive poles, causative, if I'm trying to be causative to you because I want that beach house, and you're trying to be causative to me because you want that beach house, we repel each other. There's a law of repulse as well as a law of attraction. So for the law of attraction to work, you have to have a positive pole, somebody who wants something, and a negative pole, somebody who's got what you want. Otherwise, it doesn't work. And so, you know, for you to attract something, you've got to find the other person that has what it is that you want. But here's the thing. Sometimes spirit is trying to attract you to be different. And so, you know, spirit is trying to get you to be the negative pole, the receptive pole, so that you will change and you will learn to vibrate to a higher level and come from more spiritual principles.
Got you. Thank you very much for that.
Now, I've heard about law of attraction coaching. How does that work? I mean, is that, have you heard of law of attraction coaching and that you can actually build a practice around that? Have you ever heard of that?
Yeah, of course. And there, and you know, Lisa Nichols and James Ray and James Asaroff are right out here by me doing that. You know, the standard way that would work is if clients were to come see me, I would tell them how to use visualizations, how to pay attention to synchronicity. This is all in step 4, 5, and 6 of my book, primarily step 6 in Order Your Thoughts. You know, how to mind map, how to set things up so that you can attract what you want in life. The only difference with the way I coach people is I ask people to start out with the idea of, who are you here to serve? You talked about the genie in the bottle earlier. Well, I used another metaphor in my book called the Holy Grail. And it's interesting because in the Holy Grail story, which is supposed to be the cup that Jesus had at the Last Supper, in all the myths about the Holy Grail, you cannot get the Holy Grail. The Holy Grail has to come to you. And it only comes to you if spirit feels that you're worthy. And how do you become worthy? You're here to serve. So unlike the genie in the bottle with the law of attraction, which anybody can grab a hold of and use, you cannot get the Holy Grail unless you come from a pure motive. And that motive has to be of love and service to others. What you're here to give, not what you're here to get. So that's one of the major ways that I shift when I do some sort of law of attraction coaching with people. And some of the other people I mentioned may do the same thing. James Ray has some wonderful books out on spirituality. Some of those authors may feel the same way. It's just, again, the way Rhonda Byrne put that book together, it had a really materialistic slant to it.
Yeah, I totally agree with the one comment you just made. Well, I agree with a few comments you've made, but the one comment really resonates with me because I recently changed careers, and I've been doing consulting work for the past couple of years, but I actually stepped out of corporate America to do it full-time and do nothing else, and I love it so much, Dr. Lisa, and I'm attracted to it so much that I am absolutely not concerned about the monetary aspect of it at all. And a lot of people might think that I'm crazy for feeling that way, but I have a passion and I have a desire and I'm on a mission and I feel like the Holy Spirit is leading me down this path and I'm following. And because I'm following and I'm being obedient to the way that the Spirit is talking to me, money is just coming. It's just coming. It's just coming. And I feel that when people try to focus on attracting money to themselves, that's what gets in the way. Now, that's just my opinion. I feel that gets in the way, but when you try to focus and send your energy out toward, like you said, helping others, if you focus on helping other people, not make it about yourself, but make it about other people, everything else will just naturally follow. It will just naturally fall into place.
I totally agree with thank you. It's a wonderful testimony. I totally agree with your orientation. And that's what I encourage people to do as well. One caveat or side note on that, and that is, you know, sometimes if people are pioneering in a field that is brand new, you may not be able to attract a lot of money to yourself right away, you know,
right.
Because humanity hasn't broken ground enough yet. You're in a rough path in the woods, and you're kind of hewing your way through all the brambles there. you know, it's a lot easier from a marketing perspective. It's a lot easier to market something that appeals to the masses on a road that's well-traveled type of thing. And, you know, even Jack Canfield with the Chicken Soup for the Soul series, a lot of people don't know. It took him 10 years, him and Mark Victor Hansen, 10 years
right.
before they finally got that book out there anywhere. So a lot of it is persistence and patience.
Persistence.
And
right.
And also practicality. You know, you have to create a market for yourself out there. You need to find ways to get people to understand what it is you're doing if you're pioneering. You might have to supplement yourself in other ways while you're doing it. But you've exactly hit the mark there when you talk about having a love for something. You know, that word passion means suffering.
Absolutely.
Compassion means to suffer with. Now, you know, I believe that if you really love something, you may be suffering. You may be Michelangelo in contorted positions up there painting the Sistine Chapel, but the bottom line is you love painting and you're going to do it. So you don't really notice the suffering in the same way as you suffer and you got to make everybody hear about it. That's not doing what you love. So, you know, do what you love and the money will follow.
Absolutely.
Yes, and yet, is it Tony? You know, be practical. It's about marketing, marketing, marketing. I've started to joke to people that the greatest secret of the secret was called knowing how to market. That's really it. And, yeah, and that's, you know, that's been the growing edge in my life. I have all kinds of degrees. I have all kinds of experience. But only in recent years have I learned that the real secret is marketing, marketing, marketing. And that's what I've been getting more and more sophisticated on myself.
And I just want to add one extra note to that. You know, it kind of goes along with what you're saying and what I said earlier, in that when you have a passion for something, even though you may be faced with failure and you may be faced with an obstacle, if you focus on that failure and you focus on that obstacle, then that doesn't leave much energy for you to focus your thoughts on success. Because you're going to have obstacles. You're going to have challenges, but you must keep your eye on the prize and keep your eye on success. And if you focus your energy there, and because doesn't statistics say that we process something like 40,000 thoughts per minute? I mean, with that many thoughts in your head, it's kind of easy to lose control and allow your thoughts to go toward what you don't have.
Yes, and, you know, I was so fortunate around the year 2000 to train with Michael Lozier, who wrote the book Law of Attraction, and I was part of the Law of Attraction Training Center for a brief period of time. I helped feature him on one of my spirituality websites as well. And what I like about his book is he really clarifies the don't want and the want. Now, it is valuable at times to focus on what you don't want so that you get clear that you don't want it so you no longer want it. But what you're saying there is if I spend too much time and energy on I don't want to be a failure, I don't want to be a failure, then that's the problem. You're not focused on the solution. Okay, you know you don't want to be a failure now. Well, how are you going to be different? And that was one of the valuable things that's in The Secret and in a lot of Law of Attraction training, to teach people how to shift and put more energy and attention on what do you want instead of what you don't want. You know, if you're in an abusive relationship, it's like, I don't want all this abuse. Well, then start to visualize, you know, how it would be different. I'll give you a real current example. I had a girlfriend, and God bless her, she's a wonderful person, but I was getting real tired of our walks together because I was thinking, yeah, you know, it's putting into too much complaining and negativity. I don't want this. So I sat down and I said, okay, what do I want? What kind of conversations do I want us to have? And then I was able to go back to those walks with her, and I was able to switch it all around into something more positive and energized. So we not only felt good by the time we, you know, did the walk on a physical level, but we were so motivated from pumping each other up for an hour on that walk that we were just like, let's go reach our goals this week, yahoo, and we often did it.
Yeah. Now, again, I want to just take a quick break here and go to the phone lines. There are so many lines in queue, and I want to try to get some of the callers an opportunity. Area code 513, are you just listening or do you have a question?
Hey, Kathy, Natasha.
Hi, Natasha. How are you? Thanks for calling
in. How are you?
Thank you.
Great. Okay. I want to say hi to your guests and Mr. Lamont and everybody in the chat room. Very interesting discussion in the chat room. And I want to ask your guest, well, I want to make a comment. I am a huge advocate of the law of attraction, so I want to applaud you. What's your name again? Dr. Lisa Love.
Yes.
Yes, ma'am. Okay, I want to applaud you on your book. I'm a huge advocate of the law of attraction. I think that everything is centered around it. And some people were saying in the chat room that there's a lot of different teachings out, and that's true. What am I trying to say? I guess I want to just kind of make a comment that I think that everything is centered around the law of attraction. Do I think that a child was molested because he or she attracted it? I'm not so sure about that. Still doing studies, but I noticed that. Oh, I know what I wanted to say. I want to encourage everybody that I begin to do a lot of affirmations, and I want you to tell us about the affirmation process. Like towards the beginning of the year, I did a lot of affirmations and on relationships and money, and was affirming thousands of dollars. And would you believe it actually happened? And I went on 3 quality dates with 3 men who were marriage material ladies, but I didn't want to change my mind. But that's a joke. But it actually works. And so that's what that little humor there. So the law of attraction and affirming is what I want to say. Don't you have to put the affirmation process in place, which kicks in the law of attraction?
Well, it's one technique you can use with the law of attraction, and affirmations help get you motivated, really. They're motivating statements. And let me share a little secret I learned from Michael Lozier, who wrote the law of attraction years ago. And he has in his book a Kerplunk game, which is a children's game, and it's like a tube. And at the top of the tube, you put in marbles, and in the middle of the tube are a bunch of pickup sticks. Pickup sticks are the emotional blocks. So he said the problem with most affirmations is, like, let's say you look in the mirror and you say, I am my perfect weight, I am my perfect weight. That's you putting the marbles at the top of the tube. But the pickup sticks are your emotions going, yeah, right, who are you kidding? And so he generated some techniques, I don't know if they came from him, but that said that the way to make an affirmation really work is you have to be able to write it in such a way you can emotionally buy into it. So, for example, if you say something like, each and every day I am learning everything I need to become my perfect weight,
mm-hmm.
Now your emotions can say, yeah, I can kind of believe that, or more and more I am excited about exercising and eating right. Or I love knowing that I'm on my way to becoming the, you know, way that I really want to look and feel on a physical level. So can you see the switch? So again, some of the keys are each and every day, more and more, I love knowing that. There's a fourth that I can't remember. But those are little qualifiers that you can put at the beginning of an affirmation to help remove the pickup sticks and to help create the all buy-in mentally and emotionally to make an affirmation really work.
Okay, so lastly, what I'm asking is the affirmation process crucial to the law of attraction?
It's crucial to what I call the desire mind or the motivational level. And yes, you can simply try and will your way through that brick wall and make something happen. But sometimes motivation isn't enough. You also need your logical mind. You also need the strategy and the know-how. So to say, I want $1 million each and every day, I'm on my way to making $1 million, or I love knowing that I'm going to have all the money that I need. And if you want to make it very specific, I'm going to have $1 million by the end of this year. Well, how are you actually going to make that happen? You know, did you need to get into oil? Do you need to buy gold right now? I mean, you know. So
okay, well, let me ask you.
Yeah.
Let me say then, doesn't the law of attraction put that in place for you then? If you're affirming that, doesn't the law of attraction cause that to come to you through the law of attraction from affirming that you want $1 million?
This is one area where you're going to find that I differ a little bit. It's not
okay.
Just simply about believing and desiring. It's about knowing as well. We attract where we vibrate at. And I believe
mm-hmm.
that the more knowledge we can put in with our desire, the more clarity we can have about, like if you say, I want to go to Italy. Well, yes, maybe some tickets to Italy will show up at the door. This is the lottery approach to the law of attraction. You know, they'll show up at the door, and lo and behold, you'll go to Italy. But that's the magical thinking lottery approach. Most successful multimillionaire billionaires will tell you they didn't make their money. And I know for a fact, you know how James Bassarat made his money? I'll tell you how he made his money. I saw him talk recently. He owned, like, I forget the exact number, but like 30 or 300 or something real estate agent offices. That's how he made his money, in massive real estate, managing lots of offices. You know, I mean, a lot of these people knew how to make money elsewhere in other things. you know, and then they became speakers and teachers and all this other kind of stuff. So I think that it, you can use the lottery approach to the law of attraction, and maybe it will work for you, but the odds are greater if at the same time you say, I want to go to Italy, and here's how I'm going to save the money, or here's what the research I'm going to do on the internet to find out about where I'm going to go, or here's the people I'm going to hook up with, et cetera. So if we can wed the left brain, the logical mind, with the right brain, the desire mind, I think that we have even more power in making that happen.
Okay.
You know,
thank you so much.
And Dr. Lisa, I wanted to also, because one thing I've always thought about and I've always looked at, when you talk about the law of attraction, and you just spoke about it, the law of attraction gets you to a point where you understand that with that law of attraction, you have to take action. You have to move towards and move toward the action or the attraction that you've been thinking about. It's not just, because a lot of, and that's what, I'm glad the caller said that, because a lot of folks think the law of attraction is just sitting still. And if you just desire it, it's going to come with you because you've asked for it. But understanding it, knowing that you have to do something to get it done, and I think that's what you just explained to everyone, that it's not just sitting still. You have to take action with the law of attraction.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. So
hey, thank you.
Yes.
I mean, you made some great comments. I appreciate
that. Thank
you
so much. Thank you so much.
Thank you. It was a wonderful call. And a lot of the authors in that book, The Secret, have come out and have stated the action principle as absolutely crucial to it. And again, that's a nice way, again, to think about it. The lottery approach, and that is I don't have to take action. I can just sit here passively, and it will all magically happen. But there's a different approach, which involves strategy, thinking, action, patience, persistence, you know, the right connections. You know, again, everybody in that book, The Secret, was had made the right connections along the way and had become a part of Jack Canfield's 100 Powerful Transformative Leaders. And we're at that workshop when Rhonda Byrne showed up. So, you know, you set your goal, and then each and every day you take action. You put in, you know, practical, logical thought. You put in desire. You create your vision boards, et cetera, and you move along the way. But if you do all of that, and the last step in my book is about action, step 10, if you do all of that, you're going to succeed in a much more powerful and probable way than if you just sit passively and hope it will magically happen to you.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, and I don't want to take anything for granted. I mean, when we talk about visualization and affirmations and, you know, I want to make sure that everyone understands that. I know Tasha, you know, she made some great points and asked some fabulous questions. So there is a very specific process to do that, and it's not difficult. It's not difficult to do affirmations, you know, and it's not any particular whatever works for you. You know, affirmations is basically, and correct me if I'm wrong, Dr. Lisa, that, you know, just if you wake up every morning and you have a routine where you wake up every morning and you make a statement to yourself, you know, I am a spiritual being and I'm going to attract all positive things to my life today.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's one way to do it. A way that I prefer to do it is to get up in the morning and visualize what I hope my day will go like. You know, I think about all the things I've got in front of me, and then I set the intent by imagining how my day will unfold and imagining how I will feel at the end of the day. And then at the middle of the day, as I remember it, I don't always do that, I make a quick check-in. And that's in the middle of the day is when I'll tend to use more of an affirmation to just kind of make sure I'm staying on track with my visualization and my intent for the day. And at the end of the day, I'll do a review. It's good if you're driving home in a car or something. I'll do a review and I'll say, oh, my gosh, did my day go like I intended? And if it didn't, I will reimagine it. This is such an important element because what it does is it teaches me what I needed to know about, you know, maybe I handled the conversation not in the best way, but if I reimagine it, I'm programming my brain to handle that conversation in the best way next time type
Absolutely.
Of thing. And then as I go to sleep, I like to, because of my spiritual practice, kind of say my blessings, my gratitudes, forgive anybody or myself, and then align with spirit and just say, I surrender, I'm yours, because now I'm going to go into deep dreamless sleep where I'm going to be at one with spirit again. And, you know, God, please inspire me in my dreams or you know, whatever. Thy will be done as I go to sleep at night. So I wake up in the morning fresh again on track with those insights and inspirations that I think come from the divine.
And I just want to add to that, and I know everyone has their own methods, and, you know, Tony, you have seen this hanging in my house the few times that you have been here for meetings and whatnot, but I have a affirmation that I say every single morning, and it goes, divine order takes charge of my life today and every day. I make sure that I invite divine order into my life, and it is in control of my life, and it works together for all good that comes to my life. And I even ask the divine spirit to, whenever my attention wanders away from that which is good and constructive, I will immediately bring it back to the contemplation of that which is lovely and of good report. And I'm a spiritual and mental magnet, and I am attracting to myself all things that bless and prosper me. And I say that every single morning. And when I invite the Holy Spirit into my life, that's how I'm able to keep myself on track, because I'm asking the Holy Spirit to make sure that my thoughts stay focused on everything that is good and just. So, I mean, everyone can do it, whatever works for you, but I feel affirmations are a very, very, very key point in this process. Yes.
Crucial.
If you could see my face, I'm green from ear to ear, and in my head I'm saying, amen, sister. And it's fascinating because one of the ways I was first taught in the early 1980s is to qualify any wish with, if this be according to your will, let it manifest in divine law and order. And again, there's that room for kind of saying, okay, I think I know what's best for me, but I leave a little space for spirit and allowing to keep me on track. And then, you know, if I'm supposed to go this way instead of that way or move a little bit to the left or the right, you know, then I stay open to the Holy Spirit to inspire me in that direction instead of, say, really fixed in my ego as if, no, I know better no matter what. And then maybe I'll miss some great opportunities because my mind wasn't open enough.
Well, I definitely know it. You know, it's a process that I definitely believe in. I've always believed in the law of attraction, and I've always believed in the power of positive thinking. I mean, these things have been around in different ways of stating it and all about things, and it's all about the power of your thoughts and positive thinking. I think it just all kind of goes hand in hand.
And if I can just interject, too, the one thing that, and Kathy, you've heard me say this several times, a lot of folks wonder why things are happening in their lives and why they don't seem to be on track. And the simplest way to do things is just stop your stinking thinking. If you reverse the stinking thinking and start using those affirmations and start having the positive attitudes and looking at your life as being a possibility and a probability instead of a disaster, those things can come your way.
Mm-hmm. And from a spiritual perspective, everything that happens in any of our lives is an opportunity for us to expand our capacity to love. There are 6.6 billion people on this planet. I live in one of the most prosperous areas on the entire planet, and the overwhelming majority of people don't live anywhere close to how I live. So anytime I want to go into my pity party, I just have to think that 30 miles from me is Tijuana and the Mexican border and people that don't live anywhere close to how I live. So, you know, I could get into my thinking, as you say, or I can get into opening my heart. There's a wonderful phrase called heart breaks open. So if you feel like your heart is breaking somehow, well, all that's doing is it's saying it's time for you to expand your capacity to love. And we are always able to give a smile or a hug or a kind word to somebody. No matter what our lives are like, we're here to open our hearts and open our hearts and embrace more and more people with love.
And Dr. Lisa, Tony, Natasha, I'm so sorry. We are coming down on our last 60 seconds. This has been a fabulous show and a fabulous discussion, and I thank you all. Mm-hmm. And I just want to leave you all with the thought that if you want more money into your life, give money out. If you want more love into your life, give love out. What you give out, you get back. And I want to say thank you to everyone. I love you all, and we will see you next week. I'm Kathy Holloway Hill.
And I'm Tony Lamont.
And we will see you next week on Living by Design. Good night, everyone.
Good night.